Hi, and welcome to another All About Nothing podcast. I'm your host, Barrett. It is February 21st, 2018. I'll warn you, got another long one tonight. We did go over the usual 30-minute allotment, and I think you'll be entertained. My guest this episode is a friend of mine I work with, Keith Cooper. So I will bring him on here in just a minute. Lot going on, and we'll talk about it coming up with Keith mostly, but President Trump held a meeting today with televised meeting with some of the victims from the shooting last week, as well as victims from other recent shootings. And he made some promises. He made some vows. He said that this was not going to continue under his presidency. That really made it seem like he was putting a lot of the blame on past administrations. So we'll get into that, all of it. It's a lot to talk about. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, AAN_pod. So I want to go ahead and welcome a good friend of mine, Keith Cooper. We work at a company together, and want to go ahead and welcome you in, Keith. Thank you again for joining me. It is always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So Keith and I have fairly similar thinking when it comes to politics and things that that go on that we seem to be appalled by some of the same stuff. And bringing Keith into the show again tonight, one of the things that I was just mentioning before, apparently President Trump did hold a meeting at the White House today where he met with some of the victims from the shooting last week, as well as victims from other shootings. And he has made a vow suggesting that he is going to be the president to actually get something done as far as gun laws. We're going to see a change in gun laws, tougher background checks. We're going to see things like screenings, mental health screenings for people so that to determine whether or not they should be able to get a gun. He wants to see the age limit raised on being able to purchase an assault rifle from 18 to 21. So he wants to see schools conducting more active shooter drills and, you know, again, background checks, mental health screenings. You know, I feel like not that these are just promises. I mean, he didn't promise. He basically they're saying it's a vow. He has vowed to make these changes. But I want to get your opinion on this and then I'll give mine. But I know, Keith, you were affected, your son, your family was affected because the school that your son goes to, didn't they just have a threat?
Yes, they just had a threat where an individual, well, right now there are not a lot of details out to exactly what happened, but an individual wrote something on the bathroom. I'm not sure what words he wrote about violence at the school on Tuesday morning, which would be yesterday morning.
Sure.
So when I got, one of my coworkers told me about it, of course it stressed me out to think about everything that's going on right now in the world and what goes on in these schools. So I left work, went to pick my son up, and thankfully nothing happened at school. It was a threat, but I took it seriously.
Yeah, of course.
So yes. Yes, I was affected by it, but not to the same extent of people being affected in Florida. I was affected by just the thought of violence.
Yeah. Well, and we got an email from my son's school that they basically were telling us what it is that's going to be involved in, or they're letting us know as parents what it is that's going to be going on with, they're going to be doing active shooting or active shooter drills. They didn't say how often, but they definitely indicated this is something that they're going to begin practicing. They already apparently have a plan in place for this sort of thing. So it's not like this has not gone unnoticed. I don't know if this is going to be the solution. This idea, you know, the idea behind having schools participate in active shooter drills, I feel like is going to set the wrong tone for preparedness. This feels like a Band-Aid. It doesn't feel like an actual solution to the problem. It feels like they're just giving a band. Honestly, in my opinion, I don't think they're ever going to get rid of the guns. I'm not saying they can't curtail the number of guns that are being purchased or sold. You know, it's entirely possible that they could with some background checks and with screenings and things like that. I definitely feel like they could probably fix some of it, but there's a lot of guns still already out there, and you still have dealers and gun shows and things like that that don't adhere to the laws that are already in place. You know, California, I think, shot down. I think California shot down. They had apparently a vote this week or just recently today, maybe, that that they were trying to do, that the Republicans, the GOP, was trying to do away with the 10-day waiting period on purchase of a new firearm, and it got shot down. So in California, you still have to you have a mandatory waiting period before you can purchase a gun. And I know people that we work with that would tell you, well, that's infringing on my right. That's infringing on my right to purchase a firearm. My argument is not. You're still going to buy a firearm. You still have the right to buy the firearm. You still have the right to own the firearm. But you're just having to wait a few days because, you know, the reason behind the waiting period specifically is a cool down period. And there were statistically the shootings that occur, and last week is an outlier. Last week is an exception. That statistically, the guns that are purchased and used in a mass shooting or in some sort of violence or a violent act against other human beings, typically those guns are purchased within 24 hours of the actual shooting occurs. So if there were mandatory waiting periods on those purchases, it is highly likely that those probably would not have occurred. There would not have been a violent act using those firearms. Now, that doesn't mean that someone wouldn't have tried to get a gun another way. But, you know, if the plan was, I'm going to buy a firearm and then I'm going to go shoot people, you have eliminated you've taken away their ability to get a gun at the point at which they're the most angry. I don't know. I think background checks and mental screenings are a huge way of you know, taking care of part of it. I don't own an assault weapon. I don't own a rifle that isn't bigger than a .22 caliber that was my grandfather's in World War II, and it shoots great. I've shot well with it, but it's almost 100 years old. So, you know, I don't need an assault rifle like that. I don't need something that is semi-automatic that will, you know, reload for me. Mine is a bolt. It's, you know, it's an old bolt rifle. So I don't have any solutions, but when it comes to schools, I have some ideas. And I think an idea would be that this government is going to have to spend money on protection. If they're not willing to ban some of these guns or put in place background checks on specifically on buying firearms through reputable dealers, I get that there's still going to be the black market. You're still going to have people out there selling guns, or, you know, people finding guns or stealing guns or whatever. I get it. That's always going to happen. But if you take away the ability to buy them legally, which I think something like 70 to 80% of, I think it's 75 to 80% of firearms purchased in this country are bought through a legal purchase. So if you take away the ability for someone to get a firearm right this second and you make them do a background, and you force them to do a background check, and you force them, you know, you have people do mental illness screenings or not even a mental screening, but if they have some sort of a diagnosis in their past, it should show up on their background check. So they should have that information, and the dealer can say, you know, we're going to have, you know, this is, it came back as a denial. This is the telephone number you can call to dispute it. And, you know, no purchase has been made, you know, and then we move forward. But I don't know that that's going to happen, because the NRA specifically wants people to have the right to buy a firearm. Has nothing to do with you owning a firearm. It has nothing to do with your inalienable right or an uninfringed right to own a firearm. It is everything to do with your uninfringed right to purchase a firearm. Has nothing to do with your safety. It has everything to do with your money. And people that deny that are just, I don't understand how they can't look at it and recognize the NRA is basically the propaganda machine of the manufacturers. I don't understand. But I do have an idea as far as protecting kids in school. If we take the 30 some odd billion dollars that they're asking for to build the stupid wall, I think what you could actually do is you could take that $30 billion and update every single school in the entire country with a security system that replaces all the doors with steel doors. And if there is an alarm triggered where there is an active shooter in the building, then every single door automatically closes and locks and bolts in place. I think you could possibly protect the students better by keeping the gunman in the hall. You know, I'm not saying, see, and that's one of the things that I we don't know enough about these shooters is if, let's say a shooter gets into a classroom, you trigger the alarm, the doors close and bolt. His only way out is through a window. Is he going to waste time shooting up the people in the classroom? Or is he going to try and get out? Because I have a feeling that most of these shooters, I don't know. Now that I think about it, you have almost all of them end in either death by cop or death by suicide. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an oddity that the guy, this Nicholas Cruz, was captured. But he got captured as he was trying to escape. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm.
So, but apparently the president thinks that he's got some ideas, and he has vowed that he will be the president to make it happen. He did not miss out on the opportunity to basically blame the last two administrations for where we at now. So, I don't know. I think President Trump's full of hot air. I think what's going to happen is he's made these statements, and what's going to happen is the GOP is going to rein him in. They're going to do what they always do and basically just pull him back and say, you made some promises you shouldn't have, because we're never going to let this happen.
Yes. I agree with you. I want to piggyback on something, on a comment you made. Now, I don't know the exact dates, but before President Bush, or former President Bush, was in office, there was, I think, about a 10-year ban on assault weapons.
Yes.
And I may be wrong, 10 years. Maybe it was close to about 10 years. I'm not familiar with it.
It was.
I'm pretty familiar with that time frame.
It was. President Clinton actually signed. So President Bush did the footwork. Mm-hmm. President Bush 41 did the footwork to get it in mm-hmm. place, and President Clinton signed it into place in 1994.
Okay, and from 94 to 2004.
Right.
During that time frame, people still were able to buy guns.
Yep.
No one's Second Amendment rights were being, the talking point that people seem to say is, they're trying to take my guns from me. They're trying to stop my Second Amendment rights. I'd rather die before I lose my guns. I hear all type of different comments when people talk about guns.
Right.
But during that time frame, people still were able to buy guns. It just were, there was an assault weapon ban. And then once President Bush came into office, they removed the ban.
Well, they let it lapse. It expired.
Yeah, they let it lapse. Well, I mean, okay, well, yeah. Yeah, they did let it lapse. Okay, they didn't do anything to stop it.
No.
So they let it lapse.
No, in fact, not to interrupt you, but so it wasn't necessarily even it was a ban on American companies or companies inside the United States. They could not build and sell assault weapons. They could not build anything that was considered a rifle that was a semi-automatic. So if you still wanted to own a bolt action rifle, you could still purchase one. It also banned the import of any assault rifles as well. So like the AK-47, the Kalashnikov, the 47, those were no longer being imported during that time frame. And I don't have all of the statistics in front of me right now. And I did a report on it for school several years ago. But the statistics basically were, there was a dramatic decrease in the number of multi-victim crimes using weapons, using firearms. There was a recognizable decline. And see, the other thing was, is any crime that was committed using an assault rifle. Now when a sheriff's, let's say a crime is committed using assault rifle, the sheriff's department or the FBI or whomever winds up taking that firearm and using it, or it is used as evidence. Once it's used as evidence and cleared, it is refurbished, and there will sometimes be police auctions or state auctions or federal auctions, and they would wind up, some of those weapons would then be sold back into the public. During the assault weapons ban, that was not allowed either. So any weapon that was taken in during the assault weapons ban, those firearms had to be either taken in as equipment for the sheriff's department or the city police or whatever. They had to take claim of those weapons. They could not turn around and sell them at auction. So you had the reduction of, so anytime these crimes were committed, these weapons were being taken off the street and were not being dispersed back into the street. So there was a dramatic effect on violent crime using these weapons, because they were being reduced. There were not as many of them, because anytime one was used, it was being taken off the street and not used again. So it had an effect, but we let it expire because NRA, America.
Yes. Yes. But then now we're doing the same thing. Every mass shooting, you hear the same thing. My thoughts and prayers.
Of course.
My thoughts and prayers. My thoughts and prayers. But we need more than thoughts and prayers. And I like your idea of the doors being the metal doors. But I feel like, this is my opinion on the school, I don't feel like they're going to do anything any different. I feel like, you know, the same thing you said, I feel like Trump is just blowing hot air at, like, just as he always does.
I agree.
He blows hot air. He goes out and talks as if he cares, and he really doesn't care.
Well, he campaigned saying that he was going to make sure that that every citizen had health care, which, you know, with the ACA, it is required that every citizen have health care. But, you know, there are ways to get out that if you don't have, you know. If you don't make a certain amount of money, then you can have it. But, you know, if you fall in between what is the Medicaid gap and the ACA, so if you're in that space, chances are ACA is too expensive for you. But you don't make so little that you can get Medicaid. So there are people that still do not have insurance that fall between the two. And, you know, President Trump is allowing that to happen.
I think it's also the words on the healthcare. I mean, do you remember when Paul Ryan was saying in the beginning during the campaign that people are going to have access to healthcare?
Right.
And if you think about it, the words he used were careful. Everyone has access to healthcare, but that's not affordable healthcare. And then the healthcare that you do have access to may be bare bones insurance that really doesn't cover anything, So you have access, but it's not healthcare that covers anything.
Right.
And well, that's the point where we're at. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, you and I work for the same company, and I'll be completely honest with you. I think that our insurance costs an unbelievable amount. Like I recognize that I have chosen the top tier of the insurance, but, and that's fine, but you know, it is not cheap. And I think for anyone that is paying for family insurance where we work, it's probably about $15,000 to $16,000 a year, which is just ridiculous. And if you only make a certain amount of money, then that's coming out of your paycheck. And for most people, they don't really get sick a lot. You know, I don't know how often you go to the doctor, but I go to the doctor 2 or 3 times a year on our insurance, you know, and that's generally just for checkups. So it's $20 visit for a checkup that I'm paying this exorbitant amount of money for. You know, my kids go to their regular visits, and sure, yeah, if they get sick, then it's available, you know, but it's still so expensive. You know, the other thing is that we continue to have the president and the GOP out there basically telling everyone how great this tax break is. And I don't know what, you know, I'm sure we all saw a little bit of a bump in our paychecks at the end of January or February. And, you know, with March and end of February is coming up. So we'll get a paycheck in March. And, you know, I had people around me saying, you know, they saw maybe $100 extra, something like that. That's terrific. I didn't see $100 extra. I saw an extra $46. And while $46, go ahead.
$100 extra for someone that looks down on people for Trump. I don't even see him as a president, for Trump.
Yeah.
The way he talks to people, the way he looks down on individuals, the way he's always been a bullying with any person that says anything about him, he tries to bully the person.
Of course.
He tries to strong arm individuals. I don't give him any credit for me having an extra $40 or $50.
Yeah.
That's like someone giving me money to treat me bad.
Right.
I don't care for that at all. I mean, but okay, my paycheck has changed a little bit, but then if you go further, I think in about 15, 20 years, your paycheck is going to decrease.
Of course.
Well, you're getting a little bump now, and some people are being fooled by the small bump they're getting now. But okay, if the insurance changes the way that they're trying to get insurance to change, you're gonna pay more for healthcare. Unless you're a very young individual, you're gonna pay more for healthcare. So that same money that you're getting now is just fool's gold.
Right. Well, and in the end, you know, if this tax break stays in place, if it is allowed to continue for the life of us, you know,
mm-hmm.
it is going to create a deficit that is so large that we'll never pay it back. I mean, mm-hmm. and I don't know that this money's ever going to get paid back. I'll be honest, I don't think it is. I think, you know, I've always said that I don't think our government deals in the idea of real money. I don't even think rich people deal in the idea of real money. I think that money is a symptom that only middle class and poor have to suffer from. I feel like we are the only ones that have to recognize that that money is a real and tangible thing that we have to use in order to survive. I think that if you are of a certain wealth, it's not even an issue. There's no real responsibility. There's no real, you know, there's nothing that they have to claim or take responsibility for when it comes to money. You know, I imagine that Trump Tower probably writes off its electric bills because they have so many people renting space from them. So they use that to take advantage of tax breaks. You know, and we have corporations now that went from a 35% corporate tax rate, dropped that all the way down to, I think in some cases, 15 to 20%. And that 15 or 20% is probably something that's going to be written off on in deductions anyway. So they're going to get breaks on the taxes and some of these corporate. So who's paying for our country now? You know, it's disturbing to me, you know. So we had a conversation yesterday with one of our coworkers. I won't say his name, but you and I both know him. And we were discussing net neutrality. And he is of the mindset that because the government has regulations and control of it, it does not allow for the market to actually take care of which one services the best and for the best price and things like that. And while I agree in theory that the market should be what handles our suppliers, it doesn't. And that's because our suppliers, specifically with net neutrality, internet, the suppliers have all arranged deals. And the way you know that is because if you live in a certain area, now he blamed this on municipalities like city and state and, you know, local municipalities, but it's not. It's if you live in one area, you probably have one of two choices, either a cable internet, or you have access to DSL through the phone service. Those are the only two you have. And there's not multiple cable access, and there's not multiple phone services. It's one cable and one phone. And that's because the telecom industry, whether it's cable or phone, they have made deals with each other so that they will only provide service in this area, and you'll only provide service in that area. And we will not see anywhere in there where it overlaps. There is no overlapping of any telecom services because they have made a deal. And that's the part at which the market fails, because if you only have access to one of them and you can't get the other, or when I say one or the other, if you only have access to one telecom service versus, you know, like AT&T. So in my neighborhood, we have Windstream. The neighborhood next to us has AT&T U-verse. We can only get one or the, we can't get one or the other. We have to go with the one that's providing service in our neighborhood. And again, that's where this theory that the market can control and the market can pick who wins and who loses or who actually gets to provide service, that's where it fails, because you don't actually have competition in the telecom service. The only competition in telecom you have is wireless. And even the wireless providers have made deals as far as how strong their signal is going to be in one area versus another area. So if you live in Columbia, South Carolina, and you have, I mean, I'm talking about the big four, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint. So if you have one of the big four, which I know you don't, but if you do have one of the big four, then you have the opportunity to go between them. But chances are, in order to get on one of them, you've signed a contract, or you are leasing a phone from them that will have to go back to them, which means to change service providers, you have to go through hoops in order to change and get another phone. Or you got to pay for a phone outright. And who has $1,000 sitting around to buy a phone? So they have tied our hands behind our backs, and they're constantly just kicking us in the balls. I can't get over it. But our friend has this idea that the market will take place or take care of everything as long as the government doesn't have its hands in there to tie things up or to make things even for everyone. And it's not. The telecom industry has gone above and beyond even. They take care of themselves, and that's it. But you know, it's the problem is that net neutrality is something that, because Obama, it went into place under Obama, it is seen as bad and terrible and wrong. Yes. And it's going to just hurt the country, which is just asinine. I mean,
Go ahead. One of the things that I thought about, you were definitely right about the tax plan. I'm sorry to go back, but I want to go back to something you said about the tax plan. When you said that they did what, you know, they want to cut the corporate tax from 35% to 15%.
Right.
Also, something else, when you look at the tax plan, they estimate that middle income, those earning between 50 and, let's say, 80, 85, 86,000, they were seeing average text cut of about 3%. But the top 1%, those earning more than $732,000, would get an average tax cut of nearly 18%.
Ridiculous.
And the top 0.1% would see a 20% tax cut. And 40% of people, I mean, 40% of the benefits go to the top 1%.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, it's still taking care of Trump's friends or Trump's, the businesses and the middle income individuals and lower income to middle income. If you're making $50,000, lower than $50,000, you're not really seeing any difference.
Right.
You're actually going to end up losing more. And that seems to be the majority of people, not majority, well, a lot of people that I see who I see on TV who are Trump supporters, they'll say that nobody wants handouts or I don't want a handout. Then they showed a poll and showed a lot of research. A lot of Trump supporters are on welfare, get food stamps. Then you're voting for someone who doesn't care anything about you, and you can see by the tax plan, and you're running and cheering for an individual who is doing more for wealthy individuals than he is for the lower income or middle income individuals.
Right. And I don't understand how, and I think we've discussed this before, but I don't understand how people can't look at the evidence and recognize that it's not what they say it is. So, and just to clarify that there is, if I make $1 million and my taxes are roughly about 25 to 30%, you know, there's probably some charitable donations that bring that down, you know, that I can use as deductions. You know, I have property, therefore I get deductions on that. I have interest on loans. I have, so there's deductions on that. There is the ability for someone that has that makes that sort of money, there is the ability for them to deduct themselves down to the point where they're paying less in taxes. Now, that $1 million, let's say they're still paying 10% on $1 million salary. That's still going to be, you know, somewhere in the you know, with $1 million, you're still looking at $100,000 range. That's still a lot of money. I mean, it is a huge amount of money. But I know that a lot of people won't agree that this is the case, but there are a lot of millionaires who file for extensions on their taxes. They file enough extensions that they wind up not paying their taxes for last year. They find ways of getting out of paying those taxes, and it's because they can afford to pay for lawyers and things like that to get out of it. I'm not saying all of them do it, but you can imagine the types that would. And I feel like one of the reasons we haven't seen Donald Trump's tax returns is because they may be years where they haven't been done. And when he says that he's under audit, he may be honest. He may be actually telling the truth that he is not technically under audit by the IRS, but that he is under an audit because they're trying to determine how to pay his taxes. You know, go ahead.
That was actually, I think there's a report that shows he didn't pay income tax from what, 78 to, I think, 79, or maybe a little further, because according to the tax rules, he lost money.
Right.
That is a way.
Correct.
That he got over by his attorneys. And I think he may have went further than just 1 year of not paying taxes by saying he lost money. But then in turn, he actually made money, but he finagled the system. The same system he's complaining about now.
Right.
He finagled the system.
Right.
But go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, if he can claim that he had a loss that year that was greater than the amount of money that he would have paid in taxes, then yes, he virtually has no taxes to pay. It's amazing. But see, these are problems that don't happen with the middle class or the poor. These are things that only occur. These are things you can only get away with if you are part of a financial, the top financial end. And you know, what is just astounding to me is that the people that are supporting Trump the most are probably the ones that wind up getting hurt the most. And I I've said this before, I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't hate the fact that he's rich. That doesn't bother me at all. My problem is that I am very keen on observing behavior, and I am very observant on recognizing tells. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. For anyone listening, the president's tell is when he tells you, believe me. If he tells you, believe me, he's lying. That is his tell. You know, if he's a poker player, if he and I are playing poker and he's sitting there and he's like, I got the greatest hand ever, believe me, I'm going to call his bluff because he's full of shit. He's telling a lie. He's not being honest. And I believe that he says, believe me, at least once or twice in almost every single thing he talks about. So I don't trust him. He literally is asking you to trust him, and he's lying. I mean, whatever it is he's saying to you, he's lying about. It's incredible. I don't get it. It's amazing. So we live in a very interesting time, and I hope that we survive it. That's
I'd like to say something that I'd like to respond to something you said a while ago, and it just hit my mind.
Sure.
We talked about I'm not gonna say the promises, because you know that Trump, whatever he says, he goes back on it. Who knows, in 2 days he might say he didn't say anything about school shootings. He might say he didn't say anything, because he's known to go back on saying, just like recently he said he never said that the Russians did not have any meddling, that the Russians did not meddle in the election. And you and I both know we can go back and you can look and see several times where he said Russia had nothing to do with the election.
Right.
So he's known to go back on his word all the time, and people still believe it. But with him doing the background checks, or wasn't the Trump administration, wasn't this the one that got rid of it was some kind of thing that President Obama had where if you had mental, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you're
I can't
talking
remember
about
the name of it.
Yeah, so there was a law in place that did prohibit individuals who had been deemed mentally unfit, that were, you know, I don't want to use the word crazy or anything like that, but if basically crazy, if they were deemed mentally unfit, then they could not buy firearms, assault rifles, handguns, you know, grenades, you know, they could not purchase these things. And in some cases in states like Florida, they couldn't even buy like fertilizer for a garden, because you might create a bomb. Fertilizer is one of the main ingredients of building these homemade like bombs. And I'm not putting that out there because that's not instructional. That's basically just informational. I don't want anyone to think that I know how to make a fertilizer bomb. I don't. I mean, I'm sure it's on the internet.
I don't either. I
want to clarify. But that was a regulation that when Trump was, I don't know, in his second or third month, he signed an executive order doing away with that, and which is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. That's in the same time period where, you know, there's in this country, there's always been a separation of church and state, and it's not necessarily that it's always just to keep church out of the government. It's to keep the government out of the church as well. And you know, so it's an equal partnership. They both keep out of each other's business. And with that, they allowed churches to operate tax-free. Now, what the intention of that was is also to keep pastors and ministers from standing in the pulpit and telling you who to vote for. You know, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. We always still had pastors and ministers that would stand up there and would give their, without saying it directly, or some of them would, but you know, that there was this idea that as long as they did not tell you who to vote for or politically which party to pick, that they could remain tax free. And in that same time period that Trump let mentally ill people purchase firearms, he also did away with this idea that the IRS could go after churches that went political. So I don't know if people understand. The reason we have regulations for some things is because they're necessary. The EPA had regulations in place that would prevent coal mine operation companies from dumping coal ash into creeks, because those creeks feed into the watershed that people draw their water from, either for livestock or even just for drinking. And now, because there is no regulation preventing that, for coal mine operation that takes this coal ash and dumps it into the creeks, they're already seeing an effect on people downriver. I mean, and not just down. Okay, so if there is coal mining being done in Kentucky and Pennsylvania and Ohio, and that coal ash is being dumped into creeks, that creek water eventually makes it into the Ohio River. The Ohio River makes it then into the Mississippi. So, you know, you're poisoning millions of people, the possibility, and I'm not saying that it's going to, but there is the possibility that you could have prevented by having these regulations in place, because they're necessary. We need to have regulations on some things. You cannot take care of people the way that a government should without regulations. It's unbelievable to me the way how people abandon these ideas because they think these regulations are preventing people from having jobs, that these regulations stop jobs. It's not the case. Coal mining is not gone because of regulation. Coal mining is not on the decline because of regulations. Coal mining is on the decline because we now don't have to have coal miners going into the coal mines. There are very few coal mines left where they're actually going into the ground. Now all they do is they just strip an entire mountain top off. I mean, there are parts of West Virginia that used to have mountains that no longer have mountains because they just stripped the mountains. And there's literally no mountain left. It's a hole in the ground because they've taken the coal out.
You know, one of the things that you talked about with the political endorsements in churches,
mm-hmm.
that was, who was that, Johnson? I think Lyndon, was it Lyndon? It might have been Lyndon Johnson. It was... I think that's where Trump. I think it was Lyndon Johnson. I'm not sure. It's been in place for. I mean, since the 50s.
Sure.
And this was something that Trump wanted to roll back because, of course, most of his base. And I'll say this: I know people are going to disagree. Most of his base consider themselves to be "quote unquote" Christians,
evangelicals.
The majority of his base, so they feel that this is something that he's doing. That's, I guess, maybe even biblical to them. That he's standing up for religion, but this is a play for Trump to have his base or people that he considered voting for him. The only reason he did it, in my opinion, is because he feels that a lot of Christians support him or a lot of Christians support, Republicans. So that's the reason he did it, because it was something for him or for other Republicans.
Right.
It had nothing to do with anything else, in my opinion. It was because Trump feels like, and you know my take on a lot of people call themselves Christians, but their actions and the way they carry themselves are far from that.
Right. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think I one of the biggest problems that I have in this idea, well, Christianity lately for evangelicals mm-hmm. that are part of the, you know, the grand old party, you know, there is this idea that Or they seem to operate under the function that, yes, they consider themselves Christians, but they don't act Christian-like. And in order to define Christian-like, you have to say, okay, well, is this something that Christ would do? Would Christ let the poor die because they didn't have money? Would he be okay with them not having health? If Christ were here now, would he have a problem with them not having health insurance that they absolutely need? You know, not operating under the sense that Christ could just heal them, but, you know, that they still have, you know, people still have to take care of themselves and they have to stay healthy and things like that. And if health insurance was available to everyone, would it be the type of health insurance where some of us pay astronomical amounts, or would it be a health insurance that was provided by some sort of entity that we all paid into equally to help take care of everyone? And I feel like it would be the latter. I feel like Christ would want some sort of, you know, but then it's the same thing. So if the problem behind all these shootings, if it's deemed to be the accessibility and the sheer volume of number of guns available, do you think Christ would allow there to be all of these guns, or do you think he would take away that tool of violence? I always hear the same argument. Well, you know, I mean, we work with a moron who at lunch the other day decided that he was going to interject into a story that I told that had absolutely nothing to do with shootings or violence or anything like that. So the story is basically I went on a cruise back in 2008. I had a backpack that I accidentally left a buck knife in from a camping trip just prior to this. And the knife I left in there, and of course when you go on a cruise, all of your luggage is checked and it goes through security and whatnot, and it just happens they found the buck knife, and my luggage never made it up to our room. So I called and they said, yeah, said you're gonna need to come down to the security office, that there was something found in your luggage, and which was a little frightening because I couldn't imagine what was in there, but it turns out it was just a buck knife. And I went in there, and they said we found a knife in your luggage that's larger than the knives we allow on the boat. So we're just gonna need you to sign this document saying that you'll pick it up from us at the end of the cruise. Perfect, not a problem. So they pull the knife out for me to identify it, and I look at it, but it's already been wrapped in layers and layers of duct tape. So I couldn't identify it, to be honest with you, because it was covered in duct tape. But that was the point at which this moron decided he wanted to interject and say, well, you know, did you hear the story about the woman in downtown Columbia where she shot up, she used an AK-47, or not an AK, she used an AR-15 to shoot up three people and killed them in downtown Columbia? And I looked at him in sheer amazement because I had not heard this story. And I keep up on the news fairly well, especially local news, because you never know when your name might be in it. So I looked at him, I said, I had not heard that. And he goes, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's because it wasn't a gun. It wasn't an AR-15. It was a Honda Civic. And immediately I knew where this was going. I knew what he was going to say to me was basically that because cars can hurt people, we should take away cars. And every time I hear that stupid, stupid argument, the only thing, and they never let you talk about it. They never actually let you interject with the fact that to own and operate a vehicle, you have to have insurance for it. To operate the vehicle, you have to have a license for it. That you are required to take a test to operate and have a license for it. So there are regulations and security to, or security, but there are regulations that require certain things in order for you to own and operate that car legally. Why can't we have the same sort of things to own and operate firearms legally? I hear that stupid argument, and then I hear this, you know, well, you know, tens of thousands of people get stabbed in Europe in countries that they don't have guns, you know, where they're not allowed to carry guns. And I can't find those statistics. I can't find tens of thousands of people that are being slashed to death because I don't think it's happening. Yes, there are incidents where, first of all, If you're in a crowd and this is one of those incidents where somebody has a knife and they are literally going through the crowd stabbing someone, I don't believe they're going to be able to make it more than a few people before he's either jumped or he's given up, because it takes a lot to stab. I'm not saying I know. I am assuming it takes a lot to stab someone. You know, I just don't, to me, it's ridiculous. This notion that there are 10,000 stabbing deaths in Europe because they don't have firearms. If they had firearms, they would have been able to protect themselves better from some guy with a knife. The guy literally would have brought a knife to a gunfight. It doesn't happen. You know, I think that there
I agree with you on that. I haven't heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard that. I did research on the United States compared to other countries. Americans are 10 times more likely to be killed by gun violence in America than other countries.
Yeah.
But what the individual is throwing out about, I've never heard of 10,000 people being stabbed other places. And you're right. If I had a knife, not saying I would do it, I want to preface that. If I had a knife, I couldn't do a, I could, to me, in my opinion, how could I kill 17 people?
It doesn't make sense.
When we have an assault weapon, you can. I like the fact what you said about to drive a car, I need a license. To take a test, I need insurance. Maybe we should do the same thing with guns. It should be a longer process for anyone to own a gun. But I still feel like for the schools, back to what you said about school safety, I would like, this is my opinion, metal detectors and an armed guard at the schools.
Yeah. I
feel it would deter individuals because, okay, if I'm some crazy gunman going to a school, I already know when I go out here, it's going to be a police officer out here. It's going to be metal detectors. When I come out there, I got to go through a lot. I believe would deter individuals from coming out there. And to pay for the metal detectors, you could raise my taxes. I know a lot of people disagree. My property tax could be raised because I would like for all children to be able to go to school and parents feel safer with their children going to school. I don't feel like if you extend the time it takes for an individual to get a gun, it will stop some individuals, but I feel like the schools need to be protected more and you would decrease the amount of individuals that commit those mass shootings at schools.
Sure.
That's just my opinion.
No, I don't disagree. I think that there is a place for, I think there is the potential that, that metal detectors could possibly curve, in a situation where someone were hiding a gun in a backpack. I think that metal detectors definitely curve that. And what you're seeing there is it would probably mostly be a situation where a student is angry at another student. So yes, if there are metal detectors, that student would have to figure out a way to circumvent the actual metal detectors in order to bring a gun into the school. So I agree. I think, and I believe that there's probably a way to do it so that you don't have these cumbersome machines the technology is there. You could eliminate, false positives because someone has, keys or something like that. It could be specific. I mean, when people go around with metal detectors on the beach, they know whether or not it's a bot. I mean, if it's a good one, they know whether or not it's a bottle cap or if it is, a piece of iron or a piece of gold. They can tell by the sounds or whatnot. So there is the potential.
But of course.
Go ahead.
Oh, good. I want to say something that you said earlier, but you will have individuals, and I've had the discussion before, and I won't call anyone's name, where they say that a metal detector infringes on my civil liberties. And my question is, what civil liberties allows someone to bring a gun into school? How does your civil liberties should depend upon my feeling safe?
Well,
that was my question.
Well, I'll come right out and say who it was. Rob at work was telling me he thinks that Rob was telling me he asked the question. He said, what's the one similarity that you find in every single one of these gun shootings over the course of the last 20 years? And I looked right at him and I go, they were all on psychopathic drugs. Oh, besides that. Besides, clearly the most important part was the fact that they were all mentally ill. And he said, yeah. What's the other one reason? You can't have one reason and not equal two reasons. But what he wanted to say was the fact that these were gun-free zones, that it was some place where guns had been limited either because, it was a sign on a door that said that they were that you could not have a concealed weapon in there. Here's the thing about concealed weapons, and I don't think people understand this. A concealed weapon only allows me to hide the weapon somewhere on my body. In the event that I need to defend myself, then I have one on my body. And, you know, so someone carrying an AR-15, I'm really curious, where on your body are you hiding that? Except that I understand, you know, with Columbine, the two shooters in Columbine hid them under their coats. So if there had been a metal detectors, they would have had to have gotten past that. And if they didn't, you know, then they would have alarmed and maybe lives would have been saved. But I feel like if, yeah, you know, this idea that guns beat guns is just ridiculous. I don't know if I feel like when people use that argument, they don't recognize the size of an actual bullet coming out of a round. I don't know anyone that can see a bullet coming and they can shoot a bullet. You know, if it's ridiculous. A good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. When? How?
Did you get that comment from Trump? Did Trump say he could shoot a bullet? He may have said that.
No, I made that up. That was all me.
That sounded like something he was saying.
I'm gonna copyright that, Barrett Gruber 2018.
Yeah, you should.
this idea that a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun does not mean that the bad guy with the gun didn't also shoot up 15 other people. You know, before the good guy with a gun had the time and recognized who it was that he needed to take care of. You know, he that's the other thing. I keep hearing this argument that maybe teachers in schools need to be armed. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea either, because I don't know if you remember being in school, but there were times where I got blamed for the kid next to me talking. I would get hit with an eraser because the kid next to me was disrupting class. So who is honestly going to tell me that a teacher can tell the difference between, a kid running down the hall or a kid running down the hall with a gun? They have to know that there are things they have to know in order to make that work. And I was married to a teacher once. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have been able to, but I kind of doubt it. I feel like in an emergency, teachers just need to be able to close and lock the doors. And that is the training. That is what needs to be done specifically in order to prevent more children from being hurt in schools is safety, by providing safety in schools. Let's take care of that. Let's take care of creating an infrastructure that can protect the children while they're at school. And I get it's going to make it sound like they're turning the schools into prisons, but if doors can close and lock without being opened until they're released, until it's safe, then
yes,
you're not going to, we're ever going to be able to get the guns away. But I think we can try and prevent it from happening by creating safer infrastructure, new technology to prevent these things from happening. So metal detectors, immediate locking doors that bolt into place like a bank vault. I feel like we have the capabilities of creating a system that can protect the children without doing away with the guns. But let's do that first, and then let's take care of the gun problem.
Did you see, Barrett, there is an individual, I think he's an attorney in, I think Kentucky, I may be wrong. I think it's Kentucky. He has vowed, I want to say he's a millionaire. He's vowed to put metal detectors, he's promised to put metal detectors in all schools in a school district. He's going to do it himself, to put them there. He got other individuals who donate money as well. So that individual is at least starting some process. He's doing something. And I noticed that the administration is just going to talk. I honestly don't feel like they're going to do anything any different. I don't think anything will happen. Now, I did do a little bit of research while we were talking about mass shootings in the United States.
Okay.
Here's a few things, and I'm reading this. I'm not making any of it up before anyone hears this and looks at me a little different. The research shows from 1982 to now, mass shootings in America are committed, the majority, overwhelming majority, 64% are committed by white men.
Hold on. You mean not the Black Panthers?
No, not the Black Panthers. And not the Muslims. But everyone's talking about 64%. And of course, someone is going to hear this and say that I got it from a site that I made it up, or they don't go to CNN,
fake
back
news,
and forth. But
communist
it
news
says
network.
Here, it's just showing. Go ahead, Bear.
No, I was repeating the things that some people would say.
Yes, they're going to call this fake news or so forth. But that's 64%. 60% of mass shootings are done by black people. Asians, yes. I'm sorry about that. My daughter's knocking on the door. Asians were responsible around 9%. And when you look at everything that's going on, I am not saying that white males or black males or whoever is responsible for it. But my question is, I want to get to the, I wish we could figure out why overwhelmingly what is causing individuals. I understand their mental issues, but there has to be something that's causing individuals to just be so angry that you want to go to a school and shoot. And no one may ever give me the right answer.
I have a theory. I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, okay, for this individual in particular, he lives in South Florida. Okay. His name is Cruz, but he's a white guy. He's a white guy named Cruz. And Cruz mm-hmm. typically is recognized as generally an Hispanic name, mm-hmm. last name. And I'm not generalizing, I'm just being honest. I've never met anyone who wasn't of some sort of Spanish descent that's last name was Cruz. And I've known 5 or 6 Cruzes. Mm-hmm. But this guy was clearly a white guy. I mean, I'm sure he may have some Hispanic descent to him, but he was clearly a white guy. He had been accepted into the white supremacist group in Florida where he, quote unquote, trained with them. There are photos of him practicing shooting. There are photos of him wearing a Make America Great hat again, you know, and just as a side note, it really irritates me the fact that people claim that this kid was a registered Democrat, that he was a registered Democrat. He turned 19. And let's be honest, he probably voted for Trump, but he's a registered Democrat. Now, I don't know. I don't know anyone that did when, now, when you vote, are you registered as a Democrat or do you just vote?
See, I don't know if I'm ready. That's a good question.
Okay, see, if you don't know, then you're not. If you don't know, then you are not registered or affiliated with a specific party. And what they always claim is the reason that they claim that you are a registered Democrat or a registered Republican is based on the fact that in the last election, you either, or not even election, I take that back, not general election, but in the last primary, they're not open primaries. You have to vote for one. You have to vote in the Democrat primary or the Republican primary. It's one or the other. You don't get to choose, you know, if in this race you want to choose a Democrat and in this race you want to choose a Republican. It doesn't work like that because it is the Republicans versus Republicans and Democrats versus Democrats for primaries. So if you voted in the primary, then you had to choose one side or the other. And that's where they get this idea. Or they pigeonhole you into saying that you are either a Democrat or a Republican, or you are a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. That's all it has to do with. You didn't sign a document saying that you were a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. I mean, there may be some cases where you may donate to the Republican Party, and that may align you with them as well. But again, rarely is there anyone out there that signed anything that states purely, I am a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. I claimed up until the end of the primaries for 2016, I was a Democrat in the sense that I was part of the Democratic Party because I was campaigning for Bernie Sanders. But as soon as Bernie Sanders was out of the race, I was just going to see who was available. I did not campaign for Hillary Clinton. I didn't campaign for Donald Trump. I didn't, you know, but this, so people claiming that he was a registered Democrat just annoys me to no end because that's not what is going on. And in fact, there is literally no proof. The State Department of Florida has not actually even stated that he voted in the 2016 primary, which would have been the only one he was allowed to vote in, I believe, based on his age. And now that I think about it, I'll be honest, he wouldn't have been 18. If he just turned 19, you know what? I need to fact check that first, but I need to see when his birthday was. But excuse me, if he is 19 now, that means that between 2017 and now, he was 17. When the election occurred and the primaries occurred, he would have been 16. Therefore, he could not have voted in the primary. He would not have been 18 unless he was going to turn 18 by the time of the election. But that doesn't make sense because then he would be 20 now. I feel like that's something I need to look up.
Now, I did hear with him, and this may not be true. I heard this. I mean, I saw where he has a hat, a Make America Great hat on. I don't know if it's imposed on his head. It could be a fake picture.
No, it's a fact. Snopes did a they fact checked it. It is actually legitimate. He was wearing the hat.
Then and that's why I go and I say that I believe there are different levels. And of course, there are different levels of mental issues. You know, we know that there are individuals who, to me, have been raised their entire life to feel that one race is superior or inferior to another race.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily say that individual has a mental issue. They know right from wrong. They're just a person who is ignorant and who wants to do things the way they feel is right. Everyone else is wrong.
Right.
And I guess it could be a mental issue, but every school shooting, I don't always say, or every mass shooting, I don't say there's a mental issue. And some people may disagree. They may agree. I feel like the individual hates other people.
Could be.
And so that's why they go out and, hey, I hate other people. So I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna kill some people.
Well, and that's
part, and they go out and kill people.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem is that because a lot of these individuals that commit these mass murders or these mass shootings, the part of the problem is they usually, again, they die by cop or die by suicide. And if they die by if they're dead and they can't be detained, then there's no one to interview them or do a profiling of them to figure out what it is that caused them to do this because they're dead. So there's not a whole lot of information to go on to create a profile. It's difficult to do. Oh, and just as a follow up, he turned 18 on. Oh, I just lost it. He turned 18 on September 24th, 1990. I'm sorry, turned 18 on September 24th, 2017, which means that he would have been allowed to register to vote and vote in the general election, but he would not have voted in the primary. So therefore, he's not registered with any party. He gets to vote.
He's not 19 yet. Then if it's 2017, when it's September, he's not 19.
No, he turned 19 in September 2017. He turned 18 in September.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I may have said it wrong.
Okay.
He would have turned 18 September 24th of 2016. I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Okay.
So he would not have been able to vote in the primaries. Therefore, he can't be a registered Democrat or a registered Republican. He literally could not have voted in the primaries. It would not have happened. So this claim that he's a Democrat or a Republican or registered with one party or the other is completely asinine. That infuriates me that people just make and I know it might be the Russians throwing stuff out there on the internet when they say, you know, when these things pop up, but that is misinformation. And it's only designed to try and make one group feel insecure about their choices and make another group feel like they are better than the other group. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
It is so stupid. It's the same when you were talking about the profile. The last person I could think of that's alive who committed some type of mass shooting, the Dylann Roof guy from Charleston,
sure,
or somewhere in Charleston when he shot those people.
Right.
And when they interviewed him, he said he wanted to start a race war.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the reason. That was his reason for doing it. And that was the reason. He wanted just to kill other people he wanted to kill black people. And here's the thing, I guess I'm going to go off on a tangent on this one because I'm African American, black person. I never understood how if you feel that, not saying you as a, you know, you as a person, but if an individual feels that black people are inferior, why do you even worry about them? Why do you want to kill them? I mean, they're inferior. If someone is inferior to me, I don't even pay attention to them.
Agreed.
I mean, but I never get why a white supremacist wants to go out. I want to kill, unless trying to eliminate black people so it just be only white people left, and that could be the reason. But I never understood how you, a person can hate individuals so much that you want to go out and kill that individual or harm that individual, and it makes you feel like a, I guess, you're a good person. It just is confusing to me when I hear anybody who is racist, white, black, anybody. You got white, sure. You have supremacists and all black. You have black supremacists, white supremacists, and they feel as if they're doing the world a justice by harming another individual. Well, I never get it.
Well, and I've told you this before, but this is my own theory behind racism in itself, is that racism is purely based on ignorance. And
yes,
and,
I agree.
And the key word in ignorance is ignore, and it's ignoring the obvious. It's ignoring the fact that we are all exactly the same. Yes, we have some people that have differences, whether they have ailments that make them different, or whether they have skin tone that makes them different, or their hair is different, or their speech pattern is different, their intelligence is different. It doesn't matter. Our DNA is all essentially within 99.9% of being exactly the same. And the fact that someone can ignore that simply just it is ignorant to ignore the fact that there are so many, there are more similarities between all of us than there are differences. And it is, yeah. I was raised in a family that it wasn't even necessary to talk about these things. I recognized it. My parents didn't have to instill in me the idea that my friend Courtney, who is black, is exactly the same as my friend Adam, who is white. There's no difference. I could see that, but I wasn't raised in a family that expressed that as a difference. That if I ever said, look, and I'll be completely honest with you, the N-word makes me cringe. I hear it on television. It makes me cringe.
And I don't use it at all.
It doesn't make sense to me why I can't say a word, but it makes me uncomfortable, because I know that word is offensive to an entire race of people, it upsets me. But if you believe in evolution and you believe that we are all related, then you have to also believe that we came from one spot, and we as human beings developed from Africa. We are all from Africa. You know, I get that the world looked different then, but we all are carbon-based life forms that have the ability for conscious thought. And that's what makes us the most similar, and it's the most important part. And I don't understand. I get it. You have religion, wealth. Those are the thing. Those are the two things that split people the most. Politics.
You know, there was something I wanted to talk to you at work about, and I hate to interrupt, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. Did you know? And I'm sure we just didn't talk about it. That Republicans are trying to overturn the Americans Disability Act.
Really?
Yes, I forgot to tell you about it. What they're doing is, you of course you know what it is, with sure. ramps. You had a ramp, yeah, accessible.
Equalization, and making it basically that's what made it state, federal buildings, whether they are offices or they are schools, that sort of thing. There has to be handy accessible access, and it has to be of a certain regulation. There are necessities that it has to meet in order for it to meet the American Disability Act. Yes.
The reason they're attempting to overturn it, and I want to say it has already passed the Senate. I think it's already passed the Senate. The reason to overturn it is because they were saying that businesses should not be in fear of being sued for not being accessible. So that's the reason trying to overturn it.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
What? Okay. First of all, my question is what business? What if you're a hotel? If you're a hotel, then you have a ramp because the bell cart, the bellhop carts.
Yeah.
They have mm-hmm. wheels. You can't take wheels upstairs. Yeah. So what hotel mm-hmm. is going to be built without stairs? What movie theater is not ramped in a way that you go down? Because I'm going to be honest with you. If you sit in a movie theater that is completely flat, you're having to look up the screen or you're looking forward at the screen, every single person in front of you is going to be, their head's going to be blocking you. If you go,
yes, you're right.
What is the? I don't understand. What is the harm in actually just putting a ramp or having handy accessible parking spaces? That is ridiculous.
The harm is because I say the same thing all the time. This administration does not care about. This administration reminds me of Hitler. We need to get rid of everyone who is not like we want them to be. If you have anything that's different, if you're not like me, this administration says to themselves, if you're not like Donald Trump or Rex Tillerson, if you're not like those individuals, we don't want you.
Yeah, I wish that there was evidence to support the idea that that's not the case. I know that, people, what's amazing to me is whenever anyone suggests that Donald Trump may have some racist tendencies or that he may have some ideas that tend to lean more towards a white sort of 1842 thinking, yeah. Anytime they try to disagree with me, there's no evidence to say, except that they always pull out, well, he hired Omarosa and he's got that guy that works in his communication department. I can't remember his name, but he's an Indian individual. When I say Indian, I mean from the country of India. And not him, yeah. But I think his parents. But that, they always pull out examples. Well, there's that. You know, he had Omarosa. And then he's got the woman that is the I think she is the secretary of transportation. Secretary of Transportation is I believe that she is Asian. I'm not sure what country. I'm not gonna even say probably. I don't know. But they always point out, well, he that was a minority hire. That was a minority hire. That was a minority. Okay, you've given me three. You've literally given me three in an administration that has employed under the White House itself, not the career White House staff, not the people that have been there for 15, 20, 30 years that have been basically taking care of the last four or five presidents, but the people that the president hires, there are literally thousands of positions available. Huge number of positions available, whether it's from mm-hmm. Ambassadors across the world to his support staff and things like that. There are literally nearly a thousand jobs available, and you've been able to give me three individuals that that represent his minority staff. So, no, it's ridiculous. So. Well, Keith, we have literally gone an hour and 20 minutes, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't mention Tim Tebow once. Not a single time. I am impressed.
I should have talked about it.
No, go for it. No, please give me. No, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. Mention Tim Tebow. Here's my problem with Tim Tebow. Here's my problem. And I've explained this to Keith. I think Tim Tebow is an outstanding individual. He is an amazing athlete at his age, which I think we decided is 30. I could look it up, but yeah, Tim Tebow, I don't care. Yeah. So the problem I have with Tim Tebow is that he did not go through the normal process of being looked at by scouts and things like that. He himself paid for a scouting session for the major leagues. He paid for these scouts to come and watch him hit baseballs. And if you go back to, I guess it wasn't last year, but it was 2016. If you go back and you look at his scouting performance, I don't know how many hits he got off, but I want to say he only missed a couple. And he some of them were home runs, but every single pitch was a fastball up and straight down the middle. So, who doesn't hit a home run off a fastball up I'm not saying that anybody can do. I can't, but you know, I know the fundamentals of baseball enough that if you get a fastball up, you're going to hit it out. You're going to hit it for distance. And that's what happened was Tim Tebow had a paid pitcher to stand out there and throw the ball and basically lob it at him in the place that he wanted it. And even when he was in Columbia, he struggled. He was not, there were players on the Columbia Fireflies that were better than Tim Tebow, but Tim Tebow got to move up to the next level single A. And I feel like it's unfair because he is literally taking the spot away from someone else who has legitimate talent that at the age of 19 is now going to have to wait longer before they get in the show. And that increases the possibility of injury, that increases the possibility that they may get overlooked. And Tim Tebow is taking that away from somebody else because at the age of 30, he is still a teenage narcissist. He cannot handle the fact that he was becoming less recognized, that he didn't, you know, he didn't enter a stadium and people go crazy for him. And, you know, he has it now.
Yes, he does. And you mentioned Tebow. I wasn't even talking about
him. I know.
I wasn't talking about him. I have no comment on him because I agree with you. After we talked about it, he is a really good athlete. He's a great athlete. But then after I look at it, you were correct. He is taking the place of someone else. And I see how he goes and all aspects of life. I won't go into details. You know, we talked about and all aspects of life have individuals who are past who the game, I'm not saying it's passed them by, but they didn't. There are other individuals who are younger than them who are better than them.
Sure.
And that younger individual should have more of an opportunity than an individual who is much older.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not saying I don't wish Tim Tebow well. Again, I think he's an outstanding individual. He is charitable. He is friendly with his fans. You know, last year when he was playing for Columbia, they were in Charleston, and he got mocked, I mean, severely. And he got mocked for his Christianity. And his Christianity is what probably got him promoted up to the next league. It wasn't his talent, but it was the fact that he held it together. He did not say anything negative back to them, you know, these people that were mocking him in Charleston. But, you know, he continued to be the upstanding individual that he has always been, who just tends to want to be in the spotlight. So I can't blame him for that. I'm doing a podcast where I'm begging people to listen to this. So I get it. You know, I'm right there with him. I'm just not using a baseball bat to do it. So, but Keith, I sincerely appreciate you being on the program tonight. It is a pleasure to have you on, and I look forward to the next time that we can do this. I assume that
I enjoyed it.
If things go as crazy as in politics, then we'll do this again real soon. So again, I appreciate it. Keith Cooper.
Nope.
We will do this again really, really soon.
Have a great night.
You thank too. You. Thank you. Having. All right, buddy. That is going to do it for the show this week. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, follow us on Twitter, AAN_pod, @AAN_pod. We will do this again next week. Thank you again. Baby.